For the last couple of months, we've been looking at a number of the different passages in the New Testament that speak of the abounding work of God that can be experienced in our life. Our God is extravagant. When God does something, He does it right. And when He works in our lives, He's not stingy. He's overflowing. He is abundant. And we're going to look at a very important subject tonight, and that is the fact that He gives us abounding wisdom, which is a wonderful, wonderful reality. However, we've got to realize that wisdom comes at great price. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And here we see that the wisdom that abounds really comes from abounding grace. God's free gift of His supernatural involvement in our lives to enable us to do what we cannot do. God's working that is just marvelous. And this passage speaks of the great work of Jesus Christ. You know, it's so sad how God is ready to manifest His grace, and in this aspect, the matter of wisdom, and yet we so often do not avail ourselves of it. It reminds me about a pastor in Edinburgh, Scotland, who went to visit one of his people who was really, at that time, going through some real poverty, and he heard that she was in dire straits, so he went to take her some tangible help. He went to her house, and he could not make anybody hear. He knocked loud and long, and then seeing her much later, weeks later, he said, "Janet, I knocked at your door with help for you, but you did not hear me." "Well, what time did you come, sir?" said she. "Well, it was about 12 o'clock. "Oh, I did hear you, but I thought it was a man calling for the rent." That's sort of how we approach many times. God's working. Now, let's just be honest. A lot of times, God's working in our lives, and we see that as almost interfering with what we want to do in our lives. But God's grace is available always, always for our good, for salvation, and for the development of our life. Our flesh doesn't like it, but my, what a tremendous privilege it is to have the free gift of His grace working in our hearts. And in Ephesians 1, which is going, the book of Ephesians is tremendous as it opens up what the church age is about and the great glory that is in the church through Jesus Christ. We read in verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace," that wonderful manifestation of His power that He is able to give to us because of what He did on the cross, "wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved." That's a great truth. I am accepted by the Father as though I'm Jesus Christ. Think about that. And I am in Christ, and I will have a in-house relationship. I have many mansions, many rooms in the Father's house. We are part of His family. What an amazing thing. "In whom," speaking of Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." God wants to bless us. God wants to give us His grace. And before we look at this matter of wisdom, and let me just say, what's tragic is how many, many believers just do not think right. You find over and over in the New Testament, think soberly. We are to have the right kind of thoughts. Be sober, be vigilant. Think on these things, Philippians chapter 4. And yet oftentimes you'll find Christians who view life not a whole lot better than the world does. In fact, sometimes even more skewed because there is a spiritual battle going on. And we need to realize that God is ready to enable us to think right, to think from His perspective, and He's wanting to do it in a glorious, abounding way because of the abounding grace of God. But so often we just do not value what we have. And so God's grace that gives us this wisdom is very costly. And I'm just going to touch on that. It is not something to be taken lightly. In whom we have redemption, and then there it is, through his blood. Every month we stop. We have the Lord's table. We actually have juice poured into cups, the color of blood. Why? Because we have to remember that everything we have and everything we are came because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And my friends, Jesus Christ's body was literally emptied of almost all blood. And the suffering, and so that he could be the sacrifice, the atonement, is just a mind-boggling reality. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition by your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, do you think that the Father is moved by the blood of his Son? We need to understand that this sacrifice of the Savior was a huge sacrifice for the Father and for the Spirit. And what a moment the crucifixion, the judgment aspect of it was. And it's very serious when believers do not take advantage of the fullness, the perfection, the thoroughness of Christ's sacrifice. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and is done despot unto the Spirit of grace. You know, Christians, when we go our own way and we just do not value what God has done for us and do not take advantage of the abounding grace that gives us all the wisdom that we need, and we just live a narrow little empty life that is not showing forth the fullness of God's plan, it is really treading on the blood of Christ. It is making light of what Christ did on the cross. You know, I suppose that's one thought that has stirred me over the years as much as any other thought. The enormity of the sacrifice equals an enormity of my responsibility to serve him. And if I do not serve him with my whole heart, I really do not respect what Jesus Christ did for me. I do not value his salvation. And so it's very important for us to realize that it's, you know, our victory is not just the freedom to have victory over sin, which is wonderful, but it is so that we can think as he thinks and have the mind of Christ so we can serve him. And so as Romans 6:1, I alluded to that this morning. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then as you look at verse 7, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It was a complete sacrifice. It was done. You know, a lot of people worship today, and of course there aren't very as many as normal because they're not going into the churches, but they took Mass or some kind of wrong view of communion, thinking that they were continuing to partake of the blood of Christ for the remission of sins. Hebrews 10:11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. It's just what the Jews did in the Old Testament. We have the Christian, quote-unquote, counterpart in the New Testament. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Well, we need to mention that because this matter of the abundance is something we need to think about. And that leads us to the second point. God's grace is abundant. It is more than enough. Wherein he hath abounded toward us. God's enabling grace is abundant. We've already talked about that. It is more than enough. Titus 2:11 that we often quote, but the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, training us, enabling us that denying, saying no to ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. There's the right thinking perspective. Righteously and godly in this present age. God's grace is more than enough to conquer any sin you have, any pressure that you have, any problem in our culture. It's enough. That's pretty powerful. Because we look at a lot of things and they can intimidate us. But God's grace is enough. In fact, it is more than enough. It is overflowing the banks. It is abundant. And do notice, his abounding grace has abounded toward us. It's personal. You know, here you have this enormous, it's like the Amazon of God's grace, and it's coming down and it's ready to flood you if you're just willing to take it. But so many believers just don't take advantage of divine power and blessing and enabling because they're not willing to trust God and to live by faith. So that leads us to the main point of our message. God's grace illumines here. This abounding grace causes us to abound in all wisdom and prudence. Thinking right is very, very important. Thinking right about our personal lives, who we are. Thinking right about how to have victory. Thinking right about what our lives are truly here on this earth to accomplish. Thinking right about God, that He loves us. He doesn't have a conditional relationship with us. We don't have to have performance acceptance. We don't have to impose upon Him our parents or other past authorities. He can enable us to think right about the holiness, the love, the mercy, the fatherhood of God, all persons of the Trinity. On and on you can go. We have the abounding, enabling grace to think right about God, to think right about ourselves, to think right about the world, realizing the God of this world's in control. We don't need to live in fear. We need to realize there's a spiritual battle that is raging. We can also look at what are things that are important, what are things that are not. We can look at the subtleties of the satanic deceptions and be able to identify them through the Word of God. We can know God's specific will for our life and have confidence each day that we're listening to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we're following the Word of God. We can be, even through trials, know we're right where God wants us to be and have excitement about the future. And to be able to be constantly right in line for the divine appointments that God has for us. That's pretty exciting. That's abounding in grace to have abounding wisdom, to know the mind of God, to know the things of God. Now remember, keep this in mind. The lost world is totally blinded by the God of this world. That's why they don't get saved. That's why all the frustrating things you hear out there, because they're blinded. They're just thinking in a perverted way because they can't see it from God's perspective unless they take the Word of God and see truth. That's why we got to give the truth to them. But when believers are not right with God, now get this, their minds are darkened also. And we can actually get, we Christians can think the opposite way that they should think. They can call good evil and evil good. Did you know that? We certainly see that in the lost world, but I'm amazed how Christians can actually think living for God is something that's not quite right and living a fairly loose life is something that somehow shows forth the grace of God. That's perverted thinking. And on you could go to see how Satan has deceived. That's why it's a tragic thing when we don't walk in the Spirit, we do not experience the abounding grace of God for the glorious wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:14, just to back up what I said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned by the grace of God. We actually, because we have the Word of God from the very heart of God, And because we have the grace of God working in us through the Holy Spirit, we can actually think God's thoughts. You know, some Christians do amazing things. Why? Because they've got amazing thoughts. They got biblical thoughts. They have spiritually illumined thoughts. And they believe the Word of God. And they start living according to God's thinking. You know, God's whole thought process is perfect. It's truth. It always works. And so God, when He operates, He does it according to perfection. And God does perfect things. When God's people are illumined by the Spirit, according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and the abundant grace is overflowing so that they're thinking from God's perspective, folks, amazing things happen. A whole different perspective towards your life, a whole different perspective towards your family. Folks, we are so limited with human finite thinking when God wants us to have the expansive, abundant perspective of God's own mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, one day we're going to stand before the Savior and He's going to say, why did you think like that? He's not going to say it that way, but all He has to do is look at us. You could have had my mind. You could have had my heart. I can give you answers. I can make the puzzle come together. I can give you clarity. I can give you relief in your soul. I could have done all of that. And I had great things that I was ready to teach you to be able to believe and to do, but you wouldn't listen. You know, sometimes you see very, very smart people, articulate people, or people that are top in their field of engineering or science or whatever, medicine, and you just marvel, man, if I could have a brain like that, you know. Probably wouldn't want to, but anyway. Well, folks, that's nothing compared to thinking like God thinks. That's an amazing gift. Why limit ourselves? Why box ourselves in? And we can understand also the working, how to work for the Lord, and the whole idea of prudence there, we've talked about wisdom. Prudence is discernment. It's that ability to think right and not just have direction, wisdom, and understanding, but that kind of understanding that gives you crystal clear perception and discernment to know what is right and wrong and exactly what God wants you to do. You know, I appreciate people with discernment. Have you ever noticed, by the way, that when you're walking with God and you get around somebody else that's walking with God and you talk about an issue, you both see it the same way because it's biblical and God's giving you the same discernment and you immediately have kindred spirit? You know, it's an amazing thing. That happens, by the way, in prayer meetings. When all of a sudden that prudence is spirit-led and there is a oneness that begins to occur and there's an understanding and that discernment there that causes you to have confidence that God's going to work. And there's that fine edge of discernment. I've appreciated my parents. They had discernment. They had clarity. They sought the Lord. They knew the Word of God. They kept yielding to Him. And I knew, even though I may not have liked it, what they were saying about even the small things, it was right. Now, folks, when we're in the flesh, we get irritated with people that have discernment. I've always said, you know, somebody that really has discernment oftentimes is lonely. Because they're seeing things a lot of people don't see. But you know, we ought to have a church full of people with wisdom and discernment, you know, that are kindred spirits, see it right. And then Satan cannot get in. It's a wonderful thing. And so God gives that practical understanding and helps us. Colossians 1:9, that was the very prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Colossian people. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was his prayer, all wisdom. Now, I'm going quickly. I'm going to finish right away here because of tonight. But I want you to go away from here realizing that we're not talking about being smart, that we need to develop our mind and get a lot of knowledge in. We're talking about God doing a miracle through his grace to give us abounding wisdom and discernment. And you can have that if you'll walk humbly before your God, if you will learn to live according to the power of his grace. It's a wonderful thing. We don't have to live in the dark. We don't have to live with fear. We can understand. You can understand what's going on around you. You can understand what God is doing. You can begin to get some ideas of how God is going to use some of the trials that we're facing in this day. All of a sudden, the pieces come together, and it gets encouraging even in the midst of darkness. Why? Because you're abounding in grace with abounding wisdom and discernment. And I tell you, it impacts young people when they see parents with discernment. You say, wow, I sure appreciate people that have discernment. You can be one, because it's a miracle of God's grace. If you know the word and you're humble before him and you're obedient to everything you know, the Spirit of God will come upon you and cause you to abound in right thinking. Folks, if ever there was a need for believers to think right, it's today. We've got to cut through all of, even within Christianity, the wrong thinking and the wrong imbalance, or the imbalance that is out there. God can give us his grace. And I tell you, it refreshes my soul when I see humble people walk before God and I can tell they've got abounding grace that has given them wisdom and discernment. It is refreshing. That's of God. And I love to hear from them because I learn. And we ought to be iron sharpening iron because we are having the grace of God giving us wisdom. Isn't it something that God, to us finite creatures here upon this earth, will give us his mind? Folks, take it very seriously. Don't take what Christ did for you, the terrible price he had to pay. Don't take it lightly. Just have your salvation and be glad for it. Folks, he has given us the riches of his grace, and he's ready to guide and direct and just cause us to expand and to think totally differently if we'll let him do it. Abounding wisdom. It's a great thought. Abounding discernment. May we value that in our lives. Let's bow.